Okay, welcome. We're going to be starting our first in the series on ice rescue dives. So, welcome, and let's jump right into it and get started. Appreciate you guys showing up today. Just take a little bit to go through this. I've got some good video and a little bit of discussion about what we're doing out there and why we're doing it and how to stay safe the whole time. So, without any further ado, we'll get busy. Just a quick overview of the course content. So we'll specifically be talking a little bit, first and foremost, about training. And that's our operational training when we go out there. And we'll talk about situational awareness. Our operational assignments, so we can make sure that everybody is accounted for and we're doing what we need to do. Talk about the necessary equipment and the rigging processes that take place as being sort of a technical operation. And some of the tasks that need to take place, because there are some things that out here on the ice that need to be taken care of that we don't typically consider in other months of the year. And then we'll talk about through the ice or through the hull-based operations, which is typically something we specifically do during training and not necessarily during emergency response, although we have had in the past the occasion to do that. But specifically, most of the time, that is a training operation. And then secondly, we're going to talk about shore-based under-the-ice approach operations, which is more along the lines of what we're going to be doing during an emergency operation. So we want to make sure that everybody is up to speed on how we're doing that here at LFR. And then finally, we're going to end with how to conduct an effective lost diver drill. And this is something that we want to be able to practice during our training so that in the unforeseen circumstance that we have to do this during an operation, that we're the most effective that we can be at this. So, all right, moving forward. Okay, so we broke this down into some palatable chunks here, starting out with training specifically. And we're going to talk about each of these individual, but again, just an overview, situational awareness, equipment and rigging, operational assignments, and, of course, operational tasks. Now, although this portion of the presentation speaks specifically about training operations and how to conduct them, set up, and be successful, a lot of the things that we can learn and take away from here relate directly to emergency ice operations. So keeping that in mind, the more well-versed we are in this operation, the more we've practiced it in the correct manner, the more successful, obviously, we're going to be when we have to go out there and actually do it on the scene. So, ice dives are probably one of the more hazardous dives that we perform here at Littleton Fire. And so it's important for us to keep a good situational awareness so that we can be as safe as possible and we can and be as efficient in our execution as we possibly can. So understanding what situational awareness means specifically to ice diving, we have to take a look at what kind of factors either contribute to or detract from the safe and efficient operations. So specifically, as we start thinking about ice diving, you know, it goes without saying that the weather conditions are going to be working against us, obviously, right off the bat. As I sit here today recording this, it was -1 degree outside first thing this morning. So we have a lot of people in Colorado that like to really get out and enjoy the natural resources that we have here within the state, and specifically some of the bodies of water that we have just right here within our response district. So understanding that people are going to be out there, and they're going to be out there any time of the day or night, and the weather may present us some sort of a challenge. We could have whiteout conditions. It could be snowing, sleeting, windy, just cold. So situational awareness as it applies to that is just understanding the environment that you're about to enter, and not just yourselves on the ice or on the top, but as divers as well. And most of us have had the opportunity to be a diver under the ice, and it presents a number of challenges for divers. It gives an overhead environment, which is basically a confined space dive. So it's very difficult. We have to make sure that, you know, we take into account all the safety measures that we can. Now, as the season changes here, specifically in Colorado, I mean, it can be you know, 3 degrees in the morning, and it can be 50 degrees in the afternoon, which plays specifically to the reoccurring thaw and freezing of the ice, which makes, you know, the statement, no ice is safe ice, specifically important here within our response district. So we need to make sure that, you know, we're taking that into account, we're taking into account ice conditions, and ice conditions, how they relate to not only the temperature changes here, but also wildlife. We know that the feces and activity of wildlife on our ponds and on the plat degrade the integrity of the ice. You know, as does fishermen and other organizations. The parks uses the ponds as well, and you know, they're going to be cutting holes in the ice. So do dive shops, obviously so do fishermen and things of that nature. So we just need to have a real healthy respect for the different conditions as far as the ice and how they can change. So just making sure that we're quite aware of that, and then access issues and things of that nature as well. Another situational awareness component is understanding what the high probability locations are for response within our areas. So, you know, the things such as dog parks, ice fishing spots, boat ramps, things of that nature where they're actually going to have a lot of traffic from people, and there's a high probability that those are the places that we would respond to. Now, it doesn't mean that we necessarily have to train specifically in every one of those spots, but we should try to take elements from each of those within our training spot and make sure that we can make them applicable during our training, so that when we're faced with those under duress and under emergency operations, that we have some sort of a memory recall to rely upon. So as far as situational awareness, we want to make sure that, you know, we consider the changing of the weather and the season and how that affects the ice, and then of course our high traffic areas. So moving forward into equipment, let's speak specifically with regard to equipment in two different and distinct areas. First and foremost is personnel or personal equipment. So this being a different time of year, as far as the weather conditions and what they present to us and the challenges that they present, we have begun to embrace a standard just throughout our team and our operations and our trainings of dressing the same way every time. And there's a bit of a nuance here, or a bit of a change here specifically for ice dive. But for the most part, what's nice is that the same standard that we've held throughout the other months of the year applies here as well, so that we're not redefining what our level of personal protective equipment is out here on the ice. Now, obviously, you know, it's different from being on the surface in a surface support role as it is from the divers. But specifically, let's talk about the surface support. So everybody obviously needs to have a PFD. It's nice to have some good footwear, something that provides some insulation as well as traction. And speaking of traction, we do have some devices such as yak tracks and things of that nature, some chain up for the boots, so that when we're walking out there onto the ice, that we're trying to prevent some slip and fall hazards. Sand is another good one to help out with that. What's nice also that we have on our team is we have our Mustang exposure suits that, you know, they go from ankle to wrist and neck to protect us from the elements of the weather, the wind and snow, and they'll keep us dry. Additionally, they provide flotation, so that's nice. It's something you can wear, and it will protect you in that form and fashion as far as flotation as well. And then if you don't have one of those, or you're not comfortable wearing them, they can tend to be a little restrictive, then, you know, a nice thick jacket. We do have our hoodies now, which is nice, and everybody's been outfitted with some sort of a hat. So if you wear your beanie hat, then that's good. And then, you know, your PFD over the top of it. You can always wear your bunker gear. We've crossed that bridge already. Bunker gear is completely appropriate. Bottom line is a PFD out here. So, and that's for surface support or anybody that's going to be out there on the ice. So make sure that we're watching other organizations or agencies or even other personnel within our own department that are going to be out there. Sunscreen's important, and you know, a lot of us are skiers or have been in the past, and we understand the sun's reflective properties off of the snow and ice can play havoc on our cheeks and our face, and as well as our eyes. So sunglasses is another one to make sure that we have out there. And then specifically as it applies to divers, we want to make sure, of course, that all the divers are wearing their woolly bear underwear. And, you know, we do have some warming packs if we want to put those inside of gloves. And we're actually using our mittens with the thick liners. Dexterity isn't necessarily a component we're trying to achieve here in our ice dives. So it's okay for us to wear mittens. They're three-finger mittens, which is nice because we have an extensive exchange of heat through our fingers, which is nice, as opposed to just having the gloves. So making sure that those are on there. Sometimes we forget that those are there. And then, of course, towels and blankets to cover up those divers when they're sitting still, especially the ones that are the backup or safety diver. And then some sort of a thermal hood for them. We want to make sure that we're addressing the thermal hood, and the really thin skull cap may not be the version we want. We will probably want to go with the thicker version. So making sure that we've taken care of that. And then operationally, as opposed to personnel, some of the things we're going to need, some of these are specific for training, but regardless, we'll just kind of discuss all. We need a nice working chainsaw, and these are things that we want to take care of before we get out there. The ice screws, we want to make sure that we have a number of ice screws so that we can affix our tag line, so we can make sure that we are as safe as possible. Of course, we're going to need a number of ropes, and that's going to be ropes for moving our ice shelf, as well as ropes that are communication ropes to tether up with our divers. An axe, maybe, maybe not. Pike pole, definitely, we're going to need, and that's just to make sure that we can push the ice shelf out of the way once we've made sure that we've cut it all free from the body of ice that we're going to dive through. And then we have our sled, and we're able to put a number of our pieces of equipment that we require out there on that and drag that out. That's a real nice portable device. And now we actually have some rolling totes, so that's nice. We can get a lot of that comm gear out there. And what's nice is once we get the tarp set up, and you'll see a little later, is that we can actually use those rolling totes for seats for divers and also for the comm personnel and things like that. A shovel, we need a snow shovel so that we can make our lost diver diagram. And then, of course, blankets so we can keep the divers off of those cold surfaces as they don't have much protection inside the suits. So we want to put blankets and towels down on the totes to provide some insulation. And what's also nice is divers are going to be out there and their feet are susceptible to the cold as well. So providing blankets or towels to put underneath their feet to give them, again, an added layer of insulation. So, okay, moving forward. Okay, the organizational structure of the operation itself is obviously extremely important. This dive is one that takes a lot of coordination, and as we've mentioned before, it's one of the more technical operations that we as a dive team undertake. So we need to make sure that specifically on this dive that we have people that can operate in these positions that have a strong command presence in whatever that specific position is. We need a diver who's been under the ice before, who understands what they're working against and how the environment is going to treat them under there, as well as having some sort of understanding of what they'll need to do to make sure that they can maintain a good operational readiness and control of their own situation. And the divers are certainly very high on the importance as far as how prepared they are and how educated and how many times they've actually done this operation, how much experience that they have. But a couple of the very important positions, specifically for ice diving, and we've kind of noticed this throughout the year, but specifically for ice diving, because it puts everybody in the same spot, is the dive group supervisor needs to have a true command presence. They need to control the situation, make the assignments, identify the objectives, and then kind of oversee what's going on, and certainly not withhold input, specifically when it comes to safety of things of that nature, but they want to make sure if they identify their objectives correctly, and those that are working within their organizational structure understand them, then hopefully things will be smoother than they could be. And understanding that, you know, we're never perfect, so we're doing the best we can out here, and there's a number of factors that weigh into the operation and how efficient and safe it is. We're trying to minimize those things that can take away from that safety and that efficiency by, you know, being a well objective-driven operation with a strong command presence. One of the other ones that's super important is the coordination between the tender and the communications person. This is one that we're separating these days because we do have the comm unit that can be set down kind of remotely from where the ice dive is taking place, and not terribly remotely, you know, 20, 25 feet, something like that, so that it clears the area and it gives them an opportunity to kind of isolate themselves as a comms person. But that coordination of effort between the tender, who's holding the rope near the ice where the divers made entry, and the comm needs to be well rehearsed, objective driven, and those two need to work very well together. So we need to make sure that we're practicing this during our training operations, because that's been some of our downfalls in the past, is that communication is difficult. You have you're out there on the ice, and voices carry, and you have a number of different opinions and ideas, and people are, you know, vocalizing those, and those can detract from the operational mode that the dive group supervisor has selected and the objectives that he's given, and it makes it difficult for the tender and the comms persons to communicate effectively back and forth, so that they're making sure they're making sure that they're doing the best that they possibly can. And so if we can reduce those types of things, then it makes it that much safer of an operation. So, of course, we're going to need a primary diver, a safety diver. The primary diver is going to be in the water as soon as possible. The safety diver is going to be on the side, fully suited up, and they'll have a towel on over their head or a blanket, something to protect them from the elements and keep them toasty warm. And then, of course, a 90% diver, and we want those somewhere warm, so in the dive van or in a medic unit, depending on how remote those vehicles are from the actual operating area. So, but we certainly want that person dressed up and ready to come out and fulfill a role if necessary. And then support, there's a number of support areas, tending ropes, helping out to keep the ice clear, moving some things around, being very attentive to the divers, keeping them with warm packs. This is a very difficult dive for divers, so making sure that all their needs are met and that they're doing the least amount of work possible so that they're maintaining all of their energy and focus for the dive specifically. And then we need that medical component. We've talked recently in the leadership as kind of combining the role of support / medical person, so that when we make those initial assignments, through the dive log, that somebody knows that they are specifically tasked and responsible for medical, and that would of course be the pre-dive and post-dive medical components of our operation and our trainings. Okay, so that's as far as we're going to go on this particular podcast or episode. We've got a couple more episodes following up to finish out this segment on ice dive operations, so we'll see you on the next segment.